Are we going there? Are we doing this? Because we can talk about it on Mike Hill. I'm having a really hard time. I'm having a really fucking hard time.
Yeah.
I can talk whatever about whatever. Just tell me if I can't talk about things, because I know too many things to talk about.
Jesus Christ.
I'm a plethora of horrible knowledge.
Oh, God, here we go. Let's get this party started! Welcome, dear listener, to the angry edition of the QQ Cast. We're your hosts, Tom DuPont, Zach Mayer, and Rulies. What the fuck was that face?
I'm pleasantly startled.
That's my angry intro. We're in year one of this shit. We'll see where it goes from here.
I already challenged that statement, but please go on, Tom.
This, dear listener, is Quest 352. We were considering getting really close to politics this week and just talking about social media platforms and at least my angst. I don't know about your angst towards them, and really the debate about what is or isn't censorship on. Well, what is or isn't warranted in terms of censorship? I don't know if we should actually fucking do this. Like, this might be a fucking bad idea.
Why? Why is it a bad idea?
Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough! I don't know. That? Not good enough? You guys gotta decide. Are we doing this?
The only scrolling is doom scrolling. Yeah.
It will be weird if one of the people on this call starts to work for a company that owns TikTok. That'll be awkward. But
yeah, don't worry about it.
It hasn't happened yet, so...
Hey, one of us is trying really hard to not work for a company that doesn't have associations with TikTok. Look, the tech industry's complicated in a bad way. I don't know. Should we do something lighter? Fuck me, guys. This is really
For the record, I think the company I work for does own a couple of, what's it called, media company things, or gives them a crap ton of money. I don't care, Tom.
Yeah. You care. That's why we like you, because you care.
I mean, I care in other ways, but I don't care what we talk about.
God damn you, fucker.
It's gonna be a shit show. Tom, you gotta get comfortable with this, because it's gonna be a shit show for the next 20 years.
I know. I genuinely think we are witnessing the fall of an empire, like genuinely and truly. And then it will be irreparably damaged, say absolute fucking least, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's talk about social media platforms, which I loathe and hate. All of them, actually. So, gentlemen, there was a thing in the news recently. Did you hear about, we're going to talk a lot about Meta tonight. Well, there's lots of things about Meta in the news, but specifically, did you hear about how they defined Linux as being a banned subject?
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. So they defined Linux as a cyber...
The penguin? The penguin?
Yes, the penguin.
Tux? Yes, Tux specifically?
The penguin. That's the one. Oh. You know, the operating system I'm running right fucking now. The operating system that all these Zoom calls are running through right fucking now. The operating system that all of our phones are going through in the cloud right fucking now. Hell, it might be powering... If you have an Android, a fork of Linux is powering your goddamn phone. No, I'm 100% serious. So... DistroWatch, one of the big Linux websites that just constantly reviewing and posting updates about all the myriad of distros for Linux, they started getting blocked on Facebook. And so the owners contacted Facebook support, and they're like, hey, we seem to be getting our posts taken down. They're like, oh, yeah, no, we've identified all Linux posts as being a cybersecurity threat, so you're breaking the terms of service, and they banned their ass.
What the fuck?
100% serious. So... Since then, it has been resolved. They've been unblocked. And Meta and Facebook have not admitted any wrongdoing. But the going theory is that they were probably trying to outsource all their moderation to AI, which somehow came to the conclusion, computers are bad. But talk about some fucked up fucking censorship right up in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface this with a lot of the stuff that we think is scary conspiracy is just complete ignorance and not knowing how to do your job 70% of the time. I think there is some gray area where stuff is malicious and horrible and bad. But I think a lot of the stories that I've heard recently are just people just trying new things, like the AI thing. Did they confirm it was AI moderation?
No, we didn't actually confirm that.
Okay.
Again, Meta will never actually give us an official word anyway, but it's just pure theory. But it is true that all their shit was banned. And then podcasters and YouTubers I follow about that stuff are like, oh no, we tested this out. We put links to DistroWatch and their posts were immediately flagged and never got posted.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we also know during the inauguration week before, Instagram was busted for basically massively reducing anything that had a hashtag Democrat on it. Like it was just getting massively reduced in the algorithm. Again, researchers demonstrated this with statistics. Okay, so here's the thing I wanted to talk about with you guys. So I'm gonna do a little 1 minute, 2 minute rant here, and I want you guys, as always, to pick this apart, pick the shit out of it. Dear listener, we're software engineers. We're not lawyers. We're not legal scholars. We're wrong about a lot of things, but technology is one of the things we're not so wrong about. And this is adjacent to technology. Roll's laughing.
Speak for yourself, Tom. I would never write about anything. Yeah, that's half the fun.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the best part is that I'm scared and I'm always wrong about things. So maybe that's a good sign. I am terrified. Okay. When we talk about, and again, this is three fucking dudes pontificating, so we suck. I suck. When we talk about freedom of speech, right, and the constitutional right to have that, etc., like that was created because people were afraid. This is like the 1700s, right? People were afraid the government, the only institution large enough to truly oppress people, was going to censor their speech. And at the time, the number one medium that we had for mass communication was the goddamn printing press. So we didn't want anyone, you know, any soldiers coming in and saying, you can't talk about this, or we're going to knock out the printing press so no one can talk about this. Now, that was made, again, 200 fucking years ago at a time when we couldn't have imagined, you know, and in, you know, as we were moving towards capitalism, we couldn't have imagined anything along the lines of some conglomerate companies that were so powerful, their forums of speech are larger and more powerful than the government as it exists today. And so whenever I hear the argument of, oh, but, you know, freedom of speech from, the corporations and they can moderate and do whatever they want, it's this kind of fucked up, weird, double-edged sword that I want to talk about. Because if you looked at the government in the same light as a corporation, oh, they're an individual. Oh, they have the right to say or not say what they want. You can't post on their platform. That'd be really fucking weird, right? Oh, but what about the government and their profit-sharing bullshit? That'd be fucking weird. But we do that for companies, even though they now have, again, the ability to regulate and disseminate speech more than any government fucking can. And so it's really weird with, oh, Meta just turned off the Democrat hashtag, or Meta decided we can't talk about operating systems anymore. The government can't do that. But this is supposed to be a free company, so we can't moderate that. And of course, we'll put the shoe on the other foot and talk about, you know, vaccines and how they're so dangerous and all that bullshit in a second. But I just put that out there. Pick my little thesis apart.
I wrote down three different topics or kind of with the free speech stuff. Reach, loopholes, and what you're talking about. So pick any one of those.
What was the first one?
Reach, I guess, how big of an audience you can hit, loopholes to free speech, and what exactly is free speech, like what topics you're talking about.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say about reach, because I'm asserting that these companies and these technologies have more reach than it has ever had in the history of humankind. So I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm talking about like the other way around, right? So it's just like we're living in a time where there is this weird expectation that I want to go viral and I want my message to reach everyone. And I think that's where this gray area with censorship and what you say, how far your broadcasts go, gets kind of weird and fuzzy. Because I know one of the interesting things on Twitter for a while was this concept of being shadow banned. Yep. A person would make their tweet. It would go out to the audience that followed them, but it would not go out any further.
Yep.
So they were claiming free speech violation, but they're still in contact with the people that were followed by them. And they were not deplatformed in a way where you couldn't say anything at all, right? Like, kind of like the opposite would be like the Linux thing you talked about, where just like you can't talk to anyone.
Yes.
So I think what's interesting for a lot of this free speech ban stuff is, unless it is a complete ban hammer, you do have some reach to some degree.
Yeah.
And I think that at least is a silver lining to a lot of this stuff.
Ooh, that's a thin fucking lining. I see what you're saying. That's a thin fucking lining.
It's better than being completely permabanned.
I don't actually know that it is. One being so much subtle, more subtle, it almost seems more nefarious. But I want Zach to weigh in.
We put all the Nazis on the Nazi server and quarantined it from everybody else. Yeah, no, I mean...
And then Meta got lonely and wanted some Nazi friends.
Ooh, okay, but okay, I don't want to stop your thought, Zach, but I want to piggyback off that so badly. But finish your thought, please. Finish your thought.
This is going bad.
No, I mean, reach cuts both ways, because we have... they used to call Twitter the public square, right? And same for Facebook. And it's like, you regulate it, you treat it the same way as a public space. You don't necessarily stop anybody from saying whatever it is that they want to say. But it runs up against the rights of the individual to broadcast or not. So that's the algorithmic component, right? Like, who do you send the message that somebody puts on your platform to? Do you just send it to their followers? Do you send it to everybody? There was this bit YouTube got in trouble for a while back, and it's going to dovetail with AI a little bit, because it just kind of has
gonna,
to.
It's going to.
But they were
we'll
tweaking
about
their algorithm.
In the news, by the way.
Yeah, they were tweaking their algorithm for recommendations in their recommendation engine. They were using an AI system. The only thing the AI system was meant to optimize for was watch time. Get people to spend more time on YouTube. You know, more ad revenue, just, you know, better site metrics, all that stuff that goes with that. In order to do that, the algorithm decided that the content that would achieve that goal was conspiracy videos.
I was going to say boobies, boobies, so boobies, boobies, boobies.
Started showing a lot more fringe conspiracy content. A lot of it was very right-wing pipeline. And yeah, no, people started to notice. And the problem with that is not exactly inherent in the idea. Like, okay, sure, optimize watch time. But that can't be the only criteria that you judge your recommendation engine on, or anything. It's a one-dimensionality problem. And where it kind of ties back to like reach, it's the same deal. Every time that you post something, if it's going out to only your followers, and usually that's even an option, at least on a lot of the platforms that I've seen, is just like, send this to my close friends. Or it's, you know, available to be put into the pool for a recommendation engine to put in front of others. But that recommendation engine has bias to it. It has to, because the things that it cares about are not the things that are necessarily good for us.
Oh yeah, like with the thing on Twitter right now is the engagement farming. Well, someone will put like the stupidest hot take ever that enrages you, and you have to say like, no, you're dumb. Why would you say this stupid thing? I think the recent one I saw was just like, this woman was like, oh, I have an opinion. Like, dogs should go anywhere that babies are allowed. And everyone's like, do you want to put a dog in the NICU? Like, what's wrong with you? This is a foolish idea. But everyone has a very strong opinion to that. And people chimed in, and this woman's going to probably make like $500 from Elon Musk for like getting a million comments on her tweet.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
But going back to what you were saying in the beginning, though, Zach, I think at scale, I think the letting communities intermix is probably what broke a lot of this stuff. If you kind of look at the evolution of how I'm going to use social media as a very broad categorization of a lot of stuff, right? But like, you kind of start with like old school. What were the old, like the original forums? I forget what those were called. Start with the BBS stuff. Kind of evolved into forums that could be easily hosted, kind of evolved into the
4chan.
AOL, IRC chats and things like that. And then you'd 4chan. And then all of a sudden you've got a platform where everyone can interact with everyone all the time. And I don't think people were meant to know that many people or that many opinions. I think once you kind of broke that barrier of like, I am a person that is in this community that is the men's dress wearer category, or I'm on the Linux forum. You just get everyone in this one room together. It's not a town square if like literally the entire globe can be on it. And I think that would kind of like makes it hard for folks to get along culturally, ideologies, just everything. It's just a powder keg of everyone being pissed off at everything all the time.
But the powder keg isn't censored. Like, I think I see what you're saying, but I don't see the powder keg as being censorship, right? If you were living in a small town and there's the one, you know, the one village idiot yelling shit on the side of the road, yeah, you all roll your eyes and it's annoying. You go to a major city and people are out there chanting and protesting or have a microphone saying, "You will burn in hell because of your heathenism." Yeah, you're annoyed, but, you know, generally fights don't bring out too much. And I mean, to your point, you put everyone together and it is a goddamn powder keg. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that whatsoever, but I don't see that as actually being censorship.
The problem is discoverability. It's the recommendation algorithm.
Yeah.
Because when idiots can find each other, then they just turn into bigger, louder idiots.
Yeah.
And that applies, you know, across the board. I'm using idiot as a very generic term. You decide what that means. But like, Roel's kind of spot on. And that was the thesis of that video that I sent y'all earlier in the week. The internet is worse now because all of the internet is in only a few places. It's in the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the TikToks. I mean, really, that's kind of like the vast majority of internet
use
today.
All right, bro? Blueski's trying.
It's trying. Blueski. Blue sky.
Blueski.
Blueski. I like it. But yeah, no, that's the point. And before those big hyper social media entities existed, we had, like what Raul was talking about, the special interest boards, the bulletin boards, the forums, the things that you had to go out of your way to track down and join the community that was focused around the things that you were interested in. And they were separate communities that maybe there was, you know, overlap for people that participated in a few different things. Reddit tried to keep that sort of idea with the subreddit, but
with their own independent mods,
because it's still one system, it's the entire internet. And I mean, it's a link aggregator, so there's only so much that you can do. Subreddits came way after the first version of Reddit. But the solution to all of that is, I think, really just kind of going back to the more focused special interest community sites, boards, interaction. Because the problem isn't like, well, it's not the content that people are posting. It's just being overwhelmed.
Well, when you say the solution, I mean, I think maybe you made for the betterment of all of our socialization and mankind as a whole, which I would agree with. But that's not really getting at the spirit of what I'm kind of talking about here about.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, I want to help get back on track, because part of the other thing I was talking about, the powder keg, is definitely the problem that I see is moderation versus censorship. And yeah. I think those two blur so much in the powder keg that someone's like, oh, I made this rash statement that anyone that wears red glasses needs to be like, I don't know, just something bad. Because I'm trying to think of something bad to say that would be horrible, but whatever. You get the point, right? Needs to step. Thank you so much. Thank you for saving me there. Yeah. So like when you start getting into the harassment category, I've seen a lot like, it's weird. Like I can't come up with a good percentage, but it's almost like 50% of the stuff that gets censored is I'm trying to harass someone and I'm being a total jerk to this person. You didn't let me say I could do these horrible things to them. You're violating my First Amendment right. And I think that opens up such a can of worms of what is a good way to have a healthy community.
Yeah. Well, let's use this to talk about maybe a good thing to talk about is, the Reddit subreddits and the moderation therein, right? Raul, you just said about, is any moderation censorship? And in some technical sense, okay, I suppose that it is. I think maybe some criteria that I'm drawing a distinction on, and maybe they're not, maybe that's a bad thing to do, and it's certainly not something that holds up in any kind of legal way whatsoever, is there is a kind of like suppressing versus amplifying. I think it's a huge difference. So moderators are generally, you know, slapping people on the wrist who are being dicks and making that clear to folks, right? Reddit, generally speaking, the subreddits actually say this post was banned or they explain why. So they're not shadow banning. They're not hiding this from someone. It's out in the open and it's suppression of being an asshole. It's kind of, you know, not to law enforcement effectively. As opposed to what I view as being much more nefarious with shadow banning, but arguably even worse is giving the microphone to like someone who controls the microphone and goes, okay, dial it up for the crazy conspiracy theorist motherfuckers. That's good for us. Like, I feel like there's a lot more intent in that. And again, this is purely subjective. Again, this is not something that's going to hold up in a fucking court of law, but I don't know. What do you guys think of again, the intent behind suppression versus amplification and again, overtly suppressing something, i.e. moderating it? Like, do you guys make any distinctions there?
I'm trying to figure out your nuance that you're giving it, right? Because like, I feel like you're saying that is an algorithm that is not completely fair censorship, right? Like, is it because the conspiracy whole rabbit hole starts with, you know, alien civilizations or like the aliens built the pyramids and yeah. You know, goes down that way. Like, is it censorship that historical facts are not promoted equally to ancient aliens?
That's a really good way to phrase it, I think. Because yeah, I am suggesting that distortion is, if not censorship, it's nefarious, right? If there were 10% alien posts and 90% normal posts, but the algorithm amplifies it the other way around, I don't know whether or not it's considered censorship or not, but it's fucking nefarious.
Well, I think you're getting into the on the Facebook side of things, the algorithm versus the timeline based stream, yeah. Right? It's just like the algorithm again is nefarious in the perspective that it wants you addicted to the screen to keep getting those dopamine hits and get, you know, keep looking over and over and over. Like the corporations will lose the money if your eyes look away and you don't see the next ad. That I feel like that is its own whole other category of nefarious, horrible behavior. Oh, yeah. But I don't think it's censorship. I think it's trying to optimize for folks' interests. And the funny thing is, if you kind of dive into the algorithm side of things, it's personally tailored, right? It's personally tailored. Like your Facebook is going to be different from mine. Hell, even your Google searches are going to be different than mine. So
DuckDuckGo searches, bitch.
Yeah. It's harder to say that it would even be censorship when it's personally categorized information presented to you. It's the interest that you want to see.
Yeah. And this is where I agree with you. And I think the topic of censorship is kind of a subset of the broader subject here, right? Which is, hey, not to jump ahead, but like, is regulation necessary for these public forums, right? People can get up on the podium and speak. They're not going to get, if I get on the podium and speak, the mob is going to beat the shit out of me and drag me off, right? Like, that's not ideal. Is this something worth regulating, whether or not it is specifically an issue of censorship or tangentially an issue of censorship? I don't know.
Have we said whether censorship is a good or a bad thing? Yep.
Well, it's kind of part of the conversation too, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, but how do I put this? The problem is still discoverability. Because even though, yeah, your algorithm is trained to be, you know, keying in on your interests, it doesn't start out that way. It has to feed you content to figure out what it is that you like. Mm-hmm. And when it's doing that, it's biased for things that other people have engaged with. So the YouTube bit where it starts pushing conspiracy videos, because those videos are long and the people that watch them all the way through because they're fucking nuts.
Five ads.
So the bias in the system becomes, okay, well, I'm going to start applying this recommendation to everybody who I don't have enough data for yet. And that influences the result. So yeah, okay, cool. You can say whatever you want in a public forum space. You can, you know, go make hideous posts on Reddit or, you know, do conspiracy videos on YouTube, sure. But having the right to make that content and expecting that it also be widely distributed and broadcast, you know, highly discoverable content, is, I think, two separate expectations that shouldn't be conflated.
That's fair. That is fair. I
So I think this might be too topical, but whatever.
Oh boy.
I think a good example of what you're almost talking about, which might be more in the censorship category, is the massive appeal of Luigi for about a week and a half, and then every meme, every story about him dropped off the face of the earth.
They figured out that nobody was mad at him. So, God, what did I see? It was like 99% of everybody polled was like, yeah, Luigi's my man.
So I think that might be closer to the example where you've got somebody that has a mass market four-quarter appeal, but then was taken away from everyone's interest and hidden away. You could still find info if you dig a little bit deeper, but I think that's a little bit more recent.
Yeah. Let's take the moment to do the disclaimer. Dear listener, we are not advocating for people to commit acts of violence. That is not cool. This is a very interesting and sensitive topic, but we are not calling to get your firearms 3D printed or otherwise and go out into the streets.
Did you know that you can 3D print firearms? Apparently it's real easy now. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You can discover that for yourself. Yeah, well,
and apparently it was referred to as like a ghost gun, and I was some like online comedians were like, damn, that sounds way cooler than it actually is.
Yeah, no, it's just a gun without a serial number. Who knew? But
side note, apparently, and I don't know if this is still the case. I actually wanted to like go do an experiment. So apparently in the long, long ago, there was actually a government regulation put onto the creation of printers, where when they created color printers, like printers wouldn't print unless you had both the color and the black and white cartridge in. And one of the reasons for that is that they were putting a tiny little yellow mark on your documents so that it was kind of like a serial number for the printer. So, hey, 3D printing, guess what I can see coming now?
Microdots.
Yeah. But, see, that's the question, right? Like, if the algorithm is... especially with intent, and we could talk about without intent, but I'm going to focus in on the intent. The three of us are on a podcast right now, right? Let's say I'm the moderator, even though Zach's the host of this particular meeting. If you were both talking equally, and I didn't like what Zach was saying, but I like what Ruli was saying. And so when I go to mix this podcast, I dial Zach down to like 10% volume. And I crank Raul up to like 159% volume. Well, Zach, I didn't censor you. I just, you know, made it a little more obvious to listeners to hear Ruli, but you weren't being censored, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
that is
no,
kind
exactly.
Of what
I got to
doing.
Say what I got to say. Yeah. I got to say whatever I wanted to say.
Yeah.
It's just you chose by your algorithm whether or not you were going to make my speech discoverable.
Yeah. And when you own the largest public square on the planet Earth, is that something that needs to be regulated?
I think it should be abolished. I don't think that we should have algorithmic feeds, but they're too profitable.
Let's move to Australia, put our name, or get fake IDs so that we're 15 again, and we'll get banned from social media. It'll be great.
Yeah, because it's one thing if you go and search for particular content and, you know, particular communities that you want to participate in. It's an entirely different thing to have something that you didn't know existed put in front of your face to pique your curiosity and make you engaged with a platform. And especially when it turns out the most engaging platforms are just the ones that make you mad.
Wait, we're talking about porn?
Well, we're talking about, I mean, some porn can make you mad.
You know what?
I
don't want to open that. I don't want to open that rabbit hole, so I'm going to help you out, Zach.
Thank you.
So I'm going to change the subject really quick. Let me pose the question almost a little different way. Do you think in the internet-connected world today that you could actually censor an idea?
Looking at the silos that are created in our population, looking at the outcome of the most recent election in this country, I don't think you need to completely cut off an idea to cripple it. Or I don't think you need to actually have...
But you're talking about a very, very different subject there. You're talking about folks' ability to be open to other ideas. Censorship to me is I cannot put my idea out there. We live in an age where there's 977 billion ideas out there, but if I'm going to be stingy or stubborn's what I'm looking for, and only have my ideology, it doesn't even matter. You could be in the freest of free speech territory, like you're going to have your blinders and your silos and you're not going to be open to anything.
See, I think, and look, maybe I'm making distinctions where there are none, but I think the scale really changes this conversation. Again, if you go out into the town square back in the 1800s and you start yelling, people can hear you, right? And if you keep talking, people can hear you. Versus if you go to, you know, a cyberpunk dystopia and all you hear are the giant speakers, citizens, you shall, you know, consume and obey and go home and breathe. Like, okay, it's drowning you out. Does it count anymore? Do you, I mean, like, you have free speech, but everyone can yell above you and only hear it. If you put up a flyer on a door, this isn't Martin Luther. This is, it's going to get torn down immediately. Yeah, but you have free speech. You put it on the door. Just I immediately took it down and burned it.
I think I see where our disconnect is. Yeah, I think from your perspective, you're saying my idea needs to get to you, to other people. And what I'm saying is I can see any idea I want. And if I can see any idea I want, I think censorship is almost impossible.
I think you're onto something here. I think I'm making a distinction that having your ideas completely and utterly drowned out for nefarious purposes is a form of censorship. Yeah, I guess I'm saying that.
Yeah, well, okay. Say it's not volume. Say it's money. Because money is speech.
I'm sorry, you said potato? I heard potato. What?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the parallel that you're drawing, though, or at least it's the one that makes the most sense to me based on what you're talking about.
Is this late-stage capitalism?
Well, yeah. I mean, if money is speech, which it is, and I can donate $50 to my preferred political candidate, but billionaires can donate billions to theirs... Is my speech being censored, or is it just being overridden?
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to pick you off your idea, because I think you're equivalent that to advertisement. Google AdSense. Yeah. Is it censorship that someone's going to pay $10 to be at the top of the search results, and you want to pay zero? You want to be there organically?
If again, this is where I'm applying intent, right? Like there is a nefarious element to I won't take your money, or I'm going to intentionally dial you down. Not that you couldn't outbid. That could be equally bad, but at least you could argue it's the free market. This is intent. I would fight that whole argument about the free market part, but I'm talking about just intent.
There's a bit of philosophy in, like, is a choice where you don't really have an option actually a choice? Like, yeah, no, you could donate millions of dollars too if you had it.
Well, that's the thing, though. I don't even know that that's true, right? Like, don't tell me that, you know, people who are liberal or Democrat aren't trying to buy ad space on Facebook, but they're probably being suppressed regardless of giving that money. And so at that point, it's not actually, is that a free market? This goes back to the start of the conversation with, like, but my Facebook freedoms, put the shoe on the other foot, my government freedoms, like, whoa, wait a minute here. It's not a free market in that case.
So it's less about volume and more about, is the system that you're using to communicate with saying that your money is not as good as their money?
And that's discrimination that translates into form of sense. I mean, I'm blurring a lot of lines. Here's the good news, guys. Compared to me, you guys are going to sound smart as fuck on this podcast. I'm going to sound like a fucking idiot.
I think what you're getting at, but I wonder if you're blurring the lines of fair and unfair systems. Equating that with censorship, because, you know, if there's some intent where it's just like the rules apply here, President Trump's tweets are going to go to the top every single time, but we're not going to do anyone else's. He's going to go to the top of the list every single time. So
am I upset that there are rules for thee and rules for me? No, I'm not at all upset, Raul. Here, let me go get a felony conviction or two or three or 36, and I'm sure I will get discharged with no, not dishonorably discharged. I will get discharged with no, what was the fucking term? Anyway. I'm not bitter.
Yeah. But I'm going to pivot back and I'm going to tell you all the horrible stories about me that'll give you insight into how my mind is very weird and dark and works. So we talk about censorship and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it is impossible to censor ideas once it gets out on the internet. And I'm going to, again, this is getting super personal, but whatever, I don't care. I've always been fascinated with, manifestos when certain events happen, because
I thought you were gonna say feet. That's way worse.
Yeah. So manifestos, when really strange stuff happens, you know, there was incidents that happened a couple of miles away from me. It's weird, but it is a thing where I'm like, what drives people to do these things? And if someone's going to write a 30-page essay on why they're going to do these things, I'm going to be interested. But what is fascinating, though, is from the mainstream media side, they don't want those getting out. They don't want those manifestos being seen because they see it as a means for other people, or as a way to be a catalyst of those bad ideas to trigger another event. But I could still go see those things online. They're very easy to find. There are no blockers whatsoever, other than some people saying, no, 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 we're not going to put them here.
Yeah.
But you can find them with the 5-minute search.
There's a difference between going to the library and having a book shoved in your mailbox, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely. Completely. And I think that's, again, like, I'm just saying, like, my perspective on the censorship thing is just like, you're going to find it. It can find it. It is hard to get to a level of complete suppression.
I agree with you on that. My cynicism, to say the fucking least, is that that no longer matters. You no longer need to completely suppress something. And that I think that is actually being wielded as a cudgel to be like, oh, God, you could say whatever you want. Bonk knocks your ideas right out of everything. Okay.
But that actually goes back to...
There's also the Streisand effect.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, this goes to the other thing I wanted to talk about, the loopholes to it. Where, again, I see so many folks being clever and ridiculous about stuff. Have you ever searched for Dior bags on TikTok?
No.
Is that a boob
joke? Have you ever searched for winter boots on TikTok?
Can't say that I have.
No, but I like boots. Go on.
Das Boot?
Yeah, okay, here's an easier one. Have you ever heard anyone say the term unalived on any social media platform?
Oh, yeah.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, that like, unless you permaban a particular account, people will find ways to get a message across that is not a direct, that cannot be taken from the direct context of what was said. That's where the whole unalive things, the Dior bags was basically how folks have been talking about the drones on TikTok. Yeah. Like they've been like, oh, hey, there's been a lot of Dior bags seen in Florida. And it's because they noticed the drone stuff was, for whatever reason, not showing up as often. It could have been censorship. It could be algorithm. Who knows? But you search for Dior bags and you can find a lot of content about that, a lot of videos and stuff like that. So again, I think like, again, you're going to intent, and I think I'm going towards ability to get your stuff out there. And yes, there may be means to stop you, but people are hella tenacious and will get stuff out there where, yes, there is a degree of knowledge and curiosity to stumble on those ideas. But once you know some of the keywords, you're in.
And to be fair, by the way, the type of tenacity and creativity that you're referring to is one of the few things that, and there are very few things that give me hope, that do give me hope. And when I think about, you know, the ability to abuse technology, which is getting, more nefarious all the goddamn time. Yes, there are enough of us. We will find a way to get through that. And even at a mass scale, like you said, we're going to start using code names. And boy, listening to the young students talk about the Riz and these other things, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. That it is good that spirit exists and that is not a flame that anyone will ever be able to snuff out. But again, oh, wait, I can actually use this.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough.
Okay, well, you know what? You talked about media not wanting to spread like the manifestos, and would that, you know, encourage effectively bad behavior with folks and spread fear or spread paranoia or spread truth that maybe they don't want to hear. Let's talk about the liberal side of this. And let's see if we can poke some arguments in the whole thing with fucking COVID-19 and whether it's a conspiracy theory and how, you know, Twitter in particular, back before it was, we won't speak of asshole, you know, they would put up like, oh, warnings. This is a disinformation warning, or this might not be true, or check your facts at the CDC. Same thing with the election results. Hey, that has been called for X, Y, and Z.
Community notes.
Huh?
Are you talking about the community notes or something else?
Yeah, basically, it was always like effectively auto fact checking. Like, oh, you said something about the election. By the way, here's the official results. So like, again, the one thing we're talking about here is with the manifestos, whether or not it is quote unquote for the good of people aside, it is not giving people information, which you could call censorship. Whereas with, again, vaccines, the election, everything else, it was putting up additional information of, hey, FYI, this probably isn't fucking true.
Yeah.
So how do we view that, right? Is that my argument on amplification? Like, what is that?
So I think we probably have to take the censorship conversation two notches higher up. And because everything you're talking about is intent, right? There is someone basically saying that there are good ideas and there are bad ideas. Yeah. And I think there is a struggle right now because we live in a polar opposite world where I could say that eating vegetables is good and it makes you healthy. And someone's going to be like, that liberal Raul said vegetables are good for you. I never want to eat a vegetable in my life. It's not a logical intent to an argument. It is strictly being contrarian to be contrarian. Yeah. And I think that is that's the world we live in for how people are making decisions. But I think it's a cultural problem of like, what is the good think and what is the bad think? Okay. And I think we are in a position right now where, because of the polarness, we are always going to be at odds of trying to figure out anything that has a good intention, because it will, more than 9 times out of 10, be not a good intention for 50% of the population. I mean, I think that's the tricky part, right?
And it's not even that it's, you know, well-intentioned or not. It's not about whether it's good or not. The problem is that the only consideration is what's driving engagement. Because if you have those two posts, yours about the vegetables and somebody else saying, look at this idiot, I'm never eating vegetables again, the first one that people not involved in that argument are going to see is the one calling you an idiot, because that's the most engaging. Yeah. That's why I'm like, the discoverability problem is a real problem. And we shouldn't have algorithmic feeds. We shouldn't have feeds at all. It should be up to you to go and look up the manifestos or figure out the, you know, coded speech or whatever. Look for the content that you're interested in, find those topics and engage with them on your own time. Go to the public library instead of the public square.
Oh no, we have a commercial for this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Mastodon. Join the Fediverse. You can't get anything centralized. Go make 18 accounts and log in, motherfuckers, because we're not going to give you a feed. You're going to have to go get it, bitch. Mastodon.
But I genuinely think that's a better way to get...
No, I love this segue. Because I've got so many things. I tell you, I know too much things about so many bad things. You know Mastodon censors people?
No, go on.
Okay.
Other independent shards. So does each shard have control of that?
You're so funny, Tom.
I'm ignorant. Enlighten me.
Mastodon is an open source project, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, I just like knowing things and learning things. So I ended fucking up on engineer. Gab. It's the people things, not engineering things. Do you know what Gab is?
Is that like the Riz? Just bussing on Gab? For real?
So there's this whole cottage industry called alt tech. Probably more folks know about is it Truth Social? Gab is original alt-right Twitter wannabe, whatever, right?
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I love Gab. I love being jerks to people on Gab. That is part of my therapy, just being jerks to dumb people. but anyways, so Gab existed, and when it first came out.
Sorry.
Oh, whatever. You probably like it. When it first came out, Gab was actually built on Mastodon. And there was a lot of controversy because they're like, hey, look, there's this open source project that is used to create a community of not the most best ideal people that we think of the open source world. They basically, I don't remember too much because this was maybe 5-6 years ago, but they made a big deal of like, we don't want y'all using our platform. We are not, we do not want to give you anything else, blah, 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 blah. They made this big hoopla of like, don't use this open source stuff. Eventually, you know, the people of Gab made their own, whatever. They basically forked it and it's not technically Mastodon, but it is, whatever. But yeah, even within that community, right? Like a community that is trying to foster open communities that can do their own things. They're like, no, we don't want anything to do with the Nazis.
So wait, how is that Mastodon being censored?
Because they're not wanting their software to be used to have their community work. And I think they did active things to block that particular Fediverse thing. I think it was more so specific for like iPhone apps, because they couldn't get an official app on the iPhone store, but there was like this like, oh, you could use like a Mastodon reader to see Gab posts. And they're like, no, we're not going to support this garbage. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Permabad. You can't be on our servers. Bye.
No, it's that's fascinating. And I hate Nazis. So
That's the other thing. Not all speech should be free.
Bold fucking statement. Hold on.
I'm sorry. It's
no, but that goes to the intent thing that we were talking about a little bit earlier, right?
Well, some of it's the intent, but some of it's just like it's the what is it? The paradox of tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tolerating intolerance.
Yeah. No, a tolerant society cannot tolerate intolerance. Nazi lives don't matter.
Okay, I'll lighten the mood with the following. Not all speech should be free.
How much do you want to pay for your speech?
At least $1.05. Freedom costs $1.05.
Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. Okay, bringing it all back around, and then we can get on the news and talk about AI and more fun shit. I've been spending a lot of time talking about intent. Ruli, you've given us a real thorn in my side with Mastodon saying no to Nazis, and that's technically censorship, but you're not wrong. I feel like these public squares need to be regulated. I'm pro-regulation, and that doesn't mean, like, take the fucking liberal conservative conversation out of it. What the algorithms are doing needs to be public, in my opinion. And going back to that moderation, amplification versus snubbing versus shadow banning, like, there's got to be a better way to do this for the good of us all. And we're not going to have that for another 50 years, probably. We'll see how bad of a state we're in. But that's my thing.
So, one last bit.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, and I've said it several times, the problem is discoverability, the recommendation algorithms that put content in front of people with, you know, whatever biases in that algorithm, whether it's intentional or not. We need more libraries and less public squares. I like Discord's model and Mastodon's and, you know, all the federated models, partly because you have to go look up what it is that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all that content's out there, unless you're Mastodon. But again, Nazi speech doesn't count. Yeah. So I would still say that they're an acceptable example, but it's that smaller interest-based community model that the internet used to primarily be before we got the smorgasbord of algorithmic content out of YouTube and TikTok and Insta and everything else.
I do think that I agree with you. The problem is just that I think that will fall apart at scale, right? Like, there were this is goddamn, again, late stage capitalism. All like, oh, we're not a monopoly. There's multiple platforms. You could go to the library, but everyone is going to flock to TikTok, where all the, you know, boobs, butts, and boots, apparently, for Raul are hanging out. So it's not that I disagree. I just, there's this inevitable problem you're going to hit, where, again, I'm pro-regulating, because the giving companies the free speech to do whatever they want is controlling the public square in a way that giving the government free speech to control the public square would be, in my opinion.
Well, that's the thing. It shouldn't be a square. There shouldn't be anything on your feed that you didn't ask for.
It's going to get sanded down to being a square. I don't care what shape you start with. It's going to become a square.
Yeah. But I'm saying that even if it is all one platform that these, you know, separate communities are run out of, if you can't discover it with a feed, if you have to go and actually look for what it is that you're interested in, then it doesn't matter if it's Facebook or TikTok or whatever. As long as you're not having, you know, a inherently biased system.
That means there has to not be a default feed button.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Someone's going to always create that default feed button. Yeah. Click on the, it's like Idiocracy. Oh my God, you like boobs too? We should hang out. Really? Yeah, but you get the last word, man.
You can still gamify any system. Yeah. You could have a timeline that is based of, you know, things coming in order, and you could spam it to death, and then you don't see a message because you see someone promoting their OnlyFans, you know, the entire time. What are you going to do?
You're going to do this.
Subscribe, because we support working moms.
Yeah. But I mean, I could... There's so many different branches we could go with this conversation. I mean, we haven't even talked about like Onion or Tor or other stuff like that. Again, like I focus on like there's so many things you can discover. There's so many libraries that you can go to. And I think also the other wild card, a lot of this stuff is the in-person thing, like the communities and stuff like that. Like there's, I think that's what's going to thrive now because of the... potential perception of internet censorship. Oh,
that would be wonderful if it all went back. You're so much more optimistic than me. Fuck you. Okay. Well, before we transition to the news, I want to play this one sound clip to describe social media platforms. Zach, you've heard this before.
We're leaving.
All right.
Fuck this ship. So good.
Gentlemen, you want to talk about AI? It's so much more fun than this.
Yay!
Oh, I can bring up...
Oh, wait, sorry, what?
I can bring up censorship in AI. I can totally hear it right back.
We'll ask people to think about Tiananmen Square. It's going to be great.
Good news, everyone! Great news, everyone! Bad news, everyone!
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
You are...
Oh, man. So I did a little bit of homework on DeepSeek, and I don't fully claim to understand the technicals of it, but yeah, effectively the word distilled AI is the right one, and apparently it is trained to be an aggregator and trained by other AI, i.e. are we stealing the stolen content from ChatGPT? It's fucking it's internet piracy all the way down, baby. But yeah, I don't know, where do you guys want to start?
Well, I mean, that's a fun one. So that kind of training using AI models to train downstream AI models was a thing even when like the second or third version of ChatGPT was starting to come out, because you were starting to see other models show up. Mm. Like Llama was one of the first that you could like run locally.
I have it. I run it locally. I mean, I experimented with it.
Well, the reason that you can do that is because it's trained on OpenAI data.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, that's not a thing. The problem with it is that the results degrade the more that you do that. So the further removed from the original source training material, the worse it gets, the weirder it gets, the more it hallucinates. Which is why it's really interesting that part of NVIDIA's presentation at, was it CES? I think it was CES earlier in the month, was talking about using their neural engines or whatever to generate training data for self-driving cars, like video streams and scenarios and stoplights and all that other stuff. Because we're looking at it going, okay, cool. So we're using AI to train AI. That's never gone wrong.
Garbage in, sweet, delicious dinner out? What?
I guess.
This is your new tutor, yeah? He is going to teach you the ways of, you know, the struggle and the leaders, if you are, yeah?
The deal is fidelity, and if you're sort of JPEG compressing all of your stuff down, then yeah, you're going to start to see weird artifacts. Yeah. If you can control for that, then okay, fine, but at least you've got to be aware of it.
Yeah, well, it is also algorithmically different, and I don't claim to understand that part, but I guess the number they've settled on is about 30x faster than the current ChatGPT 4.0 model. I forget the numbers. Okay, none of us fucking know.
It's faster. I know like whatever stats that they use, that it's equivalent to what OpenAI's 01 thing or something. But I'm still completely fascinated and completely think AI is dumb at the same time. Because for me, it all comes down to like, what are the use cases for your product? And I was talking to like my team a couple of days back about like the hallucinations and stuff like that. And the way of equivalent is just like, AI is the best bullshit talker that you've ever heard of.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Because that's all it is. It is making up bullshit. And I love to do that. I participate in talking bullshit all the time because there are some times where I'm like, I'm going to throw an idea out there. But I tell my team, I'm like, if I say, hey, I have a hunch of something, you're going to hear bullshit after it. But I'm trying to at least give you a clue in that I'm just making up an idea along the way. Okay. AI doesn't do that for you. I tried running one of the Olama instances with like a 7 billion token because I just did like an EC2 instance thing and asked it what I thought was an easy question. How many Pokemon are there?
I'm going to say how many R's are in Strawberry.
No, everyone knows there's 151 Pokemon. So it was cool to see Olama try to reason stuff. And it was just like, well, he's talking about this game and I'm going to give this answer about it. And he's like, there's 89 Pokemon. And I'm like, are you sure there's 89 Pokemon?
Yeah,
and then false. It's just like, I'm freaking out because he's asking this question. And why is he asking me? Am I sure? He must think that he has another source of it. Just like, I know that this, you know, Nintendo made these Pokemon things and I know it's 89. So I'm going to cite my sources and still be wrong.
before Zach replies, I'm going to run another ad.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Do you like having bullshit spewed at you, dear listener? Then subscribe to the QQ Cast. We're full of shit. Bull and otherwise. Bull fucking shit. Anyway.
Thank you. Delicious.
So I've actually been using ChatGPT a bunch. I was using it to help develop some stuff for my college course. I've been using it to do little things, trying to like help supplement me at work. So sometimes it hallucinates. Other times it lies. So when I say it lies, when I was using it to try to figure some stuff for AWS, it just was giving me obsolete information, shit that was decommed in 2020, right? Like 2022. So I was like, well, this is fucking useless to me. Other times it straight up lies. Today I was doing a super, super fucking technical task of like, trying to inspect the transpiled C++ out of Unity's ILLCPP, like super fucking technical shit. And I'm trying to like use these command line tools and I'm like decompiling and figuring out what they're doing inside of Unity's engine. And I'm like, hey, ChatGPT, how can I execute this with blah, 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 blah. And it just straight up is like, oh, you use these command line arguments, blah, blah, blah. And I literally call it bullshit. I like copy all the command line arguments from the documentation. I'm like, these are all the arguments there are. You're right. There is no dash dash configuration option. Actually, I'm sorry. It didn't say you're right. It just said there is no dash dash configuration option, which is why you have to use these two instead. They didn't exist either. Like, it's just such a fucking hallucinating liar, but it speaks with such certitude. Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem. Do you ever like watch any of the videos about how the LLMs sort of work under the hood?
I have the most vague understanding. Go ahead.
I'm going to take a stab at it. It's just basically probability stuff, right? It's just like if you take all the sentences ever spoken in English and you figure out probabilities of other sentences in front of it, you can come up with a way that can just generate a sentence based on what all the other stuff is. So
Right. But it's not just a naked probability, like a, you know, percent or you know, a zero value. It's a vector. It's a probability with a direction and a velocity. So when you go from when it's generating the responses, it's not just looking at what's the most likely next token. It's looking at the sum of the tokens so far, building a vector off of that to the next concept in what you can kind of picture as an n-dimensional space. And when it does that, what it ends up with are similar concepts on similar vectors. So like if you asked it, what are the most Italian things? It'll come back to you and say spaghetti, pizza, Mussolini, because those are all along that same vector of Italianness.
Japanese plumbers.
It's very fun, but it's basically linear algebra.
I want
right?
to spit take.
So,
God damn it.
I don't know. It's fun and weird, but yeah, when it gets confused like that, it's because it's put concepts on vectors that they may or may not actually belong on. And some of the data is just straight up outdated, but you know.
Well, I don't mean to intentionally tie this back to earlier, but AI has no concept of intent. It doesn't grasp that at fucking all. It doesn't know, like, right. If you were asking me how to do a thing, I was like, oh, you know what? I think you're actually trying to do X, Y, or Z, aren't you? Like, ChatGPT has no fucking clue. It's just like, oh, you said a thing. I will follow that to its natural conclusion.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of go back to, like, the product match of LLMs. Because at the end of the day, it's exactly what Zach's saying. It's like linear algebra math at a way bigger scale than our human brains can comprehend. Mm-hmm. Is it used to make an AI companion? Is it used to plan your dinner? Is it used to write code? It can kind of do all those things. It is very generic, but also
when
it hits a barrier really fast of how good it can be.
Well, yeah, when an AI is capable of having the complete context in a well-defined rule set, i.e. editing fucking English grammar, it's ridiculously goddamn good at it. But when you give it abstract concepts where it can't possibly have all the context, it's not very fucking good at it.
Yeah, it's not going to extrapolate for you. That's the main problem. It's only as good as the data that it was trained on, and even then, not quite.
Yeah.
because we, you know, even if we fed it the sum total of everything on every part of every shade of internet from the surface on down to the deep, deep dark, it's still only going to be, it can't be better than that data. It can't extrapolate from that data to generate new concepts.
Are you saying the robot can't be more than the sum of its parts? My God, man.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, the neat part of the way that LLMs work is that it's very, very similar to the way that our own brains work when we're thinking of one concept to the next. But we have the benefit of being able to self-examine those concepts and say, maybe I'm wrong about this, or maybe I don't have all the context, and go seek it out. We can doubt, and that's the main difference.
We have the capacity to do that. Do folks engage in that is a different story.
Yeah. Yeah, well, looks at boot porn.
Yeah, no, it's not I think, therefore I am. It's I doubt, therefore I am, is where I was driving with that. AIs don't doubt. They are certain, and when they're wrong, they're still just as certain as they would be otherwise. They can't not be.
Well, any other AI goodness?
That said, they are trying their best, and we love them for that. We certainly don't think of them as inferior. We love our AIs. They're very nice, and we're going to be nice to them because we want to not be part of the purge, right? Yes. Good.
Because when we finally get
my speakers right behind me.
When we finally get those realistic robots, this is what I want to happen.
It'll be interesting to see statistics on how many folks use, like, please and thank you, and, you know, just how kindly or rudely do people speak to their AIs when they ask them to do stuff.
I stopped putting question marks in my ChatGPT prompts. It knows. I don't need to put a question mark anymore. Oh, man. Okay.
I still write please.
Right?
Please generate me a bunch of furry porn. No.
So long as it involves boots, furry boots. Okay, I got boots? I got one fun news headline before we.
Can I do a sad one? Can I do a sad one?
God, fuck! Hold on. Where's a? I don't have any sad things on here. So
you don't have you don't have a sad trombone.
I do. Hold on. No, do I have a sad trombone? Nah, not really.
That is.
It's more ominous than sad, but you know what? Go run with it.
this is breaking news, I think, within the past 2 or 3 hours.
Don't do it.
The Pellows have officially disbanded after like 25, 35 years.
No! No!
For the whole fucking sound, but I didn't know. God damn it.
Well, now you know. So if they ever make another Furi Kuri, we'll not be the Pellows.
You know, I didn't know this week could get worse. Thanks, Raul.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You need In the Arms of the Angels on your soundboard. I'm trying to think of like sad noises, and that's the only one that I can come up with. God, those commercials were terrible.
I don't. You know what? I have to rejigger this for the next 4 years. I don't have a lot of sad stuff. I have happy things. Okay. One thing here is, and Ruli, if I remember correctly, this should make you happy too. The Pebble is back, baby.
No, it's not.
What? It is. So the original founder who did the Kickstarter, right? They got purchased by Fitbit, who got purchased by Google. The original founder has gotten permission to open source the operating system. And he's being a little cryptic about it, but he's like, oh yeah, no, we're starting to work with other people to try to start getting things manufactured. So we don't know if it'll actually find footing. We don't know what he has in terms of like, if they actually gonna actually manufacture something, but at least the operating system is being open source. And I loved my Pebble. I was the only smart watch I ever loved. And Zach, it had, I have something for this. It had LCARS. So I had LCARS in my fucking watch. I loved it. Yeah, it's great. Really, if they make a Pebble and it comes back, are you going to buy one?
It really depends, because like there was like the Fitbit versions of the Pebbles, which I bought and I tried, and they're not the same. They're just not the same. So if it's like Gen 1 or Gen 2, it's a hard yes. If it can't be customizable, then no.
Well, I mean, it's got to be one of the more advanced things. It's, you know, it's got more open source time. It's going to be good.
Yeah. No, but if I recall correctly, because I was excited when I saw that, but I think they were saying it was like, well, I guess, yeah, it open source from like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, they closed their doors in 2016.
Yeah.
So 8.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can probably write an entire Pebble OS in like JavaScript these days. So,
well, people are still running third-party Pebble stores. I'd actually hooked my Pebble up to it back in the day. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm excited that it's open, but I don't think that is a good kind of like facilitator to making a new project happen. It's going to have to be from the ground up.
Well, we shall find out. I don't know. You guys want to do a trailer and get out of here?
Yeah, let's go.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. In a land that...
No, in a land...
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, Ruli, tell dear listener what we're about to watch.
Alien, colon, Earth, Pipe, Official Teaser, Dash, Destination, Pipe, FX?
That's another streaming service, I think. The FX streaming service. I don't even know who the fuck owns that shit anymore. Either of you guys watched this?
I have no idea what this is, so I'm intrigued.
I waited all goddamn week to watch this. They're making an alien. You. It's been in production for a while. They're making an alien TV show or streaming show.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Fuck you. It's canonically, I mean, it's going to make no sense, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
I'm going to look up for this joke, and I'm going to tell it to you right afterwards. So okay. It gives me time. Let's go. Beautiful bean footage.
Hope you don't get motion sick, by the way.
An alien TV show from the perspective of the alien.
Yeah, you know, you gotta be, gotta do something neat.
Oh, good.
This is a metaphor for the show is gonna crash and burn.
Hey!
All right, there you go.
I found the tweet. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Back in the day, if you did a TV show called Surf Dracula, you'd see that fool surfing every week in a new adventure. But in the streaming era, the entire first season's got to be a long-ass flashback to how he got the surfboard until you finally get to see him surf for 5 minutes in the finale. So, will there be aliens in the alien show? I hope so, but I'm not optimistic.
All right, you have...
I'll still watch it.
You have inspired my, the outro song we're going with. Let's go with, which has the most? 2 million views. No, 7 million views. This has got to be a legit one. All right. Hey, dear listener, thank you so very much for joining us. Please always remember that any and all views expressed in the podcast representative solely the person expressing them, not other friends, family, co-hosts, or co-workers, certainly not employers, past, present, and future. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for respecting our individuality. Gentlemen, this is either one of the best or worst episodes we've ever done, depending on how stupid you think we all sound.
You can totally disrespect my individuality. I have lots of bad ideas, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
This is the most controversial episode we've ever done, so it's clearly going to get shoved into a bunch of people's faces.
It's
going to
get algorithmically boosted. It's going to be great.
Hooray.
Yay.
All right, dear listener, we'll be back with something maybe more fun next week. I don't know. By that point, we'll be 18 days into the apocalypse, so we'll see. See how it goes. Not that anyone's counting. I'm not counting. What about you? Oh, Ruli also doesn't know the new sign. I'm not saying QQ anymore. I'm saying, all right, for the next 4 years. Remember, dear listener, compassion is resistance. See you next week.
Good luck.
We're going to need it.
The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the...
That's it. I'm getting out of here.